Morning, I didn't know he was speaking. I didn't even know he was speaking. I didn't even bring my Bible, so this is not my Bible. But we're going to go to Philippians chapter 1, please. Just a few little thoughts. And one in each chapter. Headings, Philippians chapter 1. First of all, we want to look at our main verse in the Bible. In Philippians, and it's a verse that always blows my mind. What Paul would say is this: for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Did you ever think about that verse? And how easy is it to live that way? For me to live is Christ. That means every part of my life is Christ first. We see what it says in Colossians, that in everything and all things he might have what? Preeminence. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That was Paul's mindset. That's the way he thought. And we see how he went through all the circumstances of life and so on, yet that's what he had in his mind. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Go to Philippians chapter 1, and if you want to put a heading for Philippians chapter 1, we see a Christ filled life. He starts off with a prayer for the saints there, a Christ-filled life. Chapter 2, we see there, of course, we know about the Lord Jesus Christ, and we see there a Christ-formed life. We say how Christ was before he went to the cross. He was humble. He was obedient. He had service towards God and so on. He became a servant unto the Lord. Do we have any of those characteristics in our life? So a Christ-filled life, a Christ-formed life, and then chapter 3, we see a Christ-focused life. Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind and looking forward. In other words, like a mountain climber that's climbing a mountain. And if you're climbing a mountain or you see these rock climbers, they're not looking down, are they? They're looking where? Looking at the peak. We know what it says in Colossians, if you therefore be risen with Christ, seek those things which are on the ground. Is that what it says? Seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your heart, set your affections on things above, not on the things of the earth. For your life is hid in Christ with God. Think of that little verse. Your life is hid in Christ with God. Wonderful thing, isn't it? And finally, chapter 4, we see Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 9, with Christ-fed life. And there's six words there, whatsoever are honest and pure and so on. We're going to read them in a few moments. That's what we should be thinking about. You know what? We look at all our phones and our internets and all those things, and man, we are bombarded by all kinds of garbage. And you know, it does affect us. And the God of this world wants it to affect us. We see that in Philippians chapter 2. The God of this world, whom we used to follow in his course or his way, the way of the world. And he's the one who was in control of it. We need to get our minds fixed on the Lord. So let's read in at chapter 1, back to chapter 1. Remember that verse, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Reading in at verse 9 of chapter 1, Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. And this is Paul's prayer to the Christians in Philippi. He says this, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in insight. Your love may abound. Now, in other words, when we're saved, we don't just get saved and sit on the bench or on a fence. We are to develop. We are to grow. Grow in grace and knowledge and of the Lord Jesus and so on. And grow in love. Because you know what? That's one thing we all need is love. Serge and I are out golfing, and we always meet one friend there that I don't know if you call him a friend. His name is Stephen. He's not much love in that man. Oh, he never says one nice thing about anything. I don't know how he ever goes through life. He's just continually complaining about everything. No love at all. But you know what? I look back before I was saved. I probably didn't have a whole lot of love. It was love what? For me, myself, and I. And that's the way it was. I was walking the course of the world just like many others until the Lord saved me. And he's the only one who can change us. And this poor man, as we talked about the other, was a week or two ago, it says he got lost in the woods out in Clyde River. And this is a guy that's looking for golf balls everywhere. By the way, I was looking for a few when I met a tree close up. It's a big dead branch sticking down like that, and I was looking for one of Serge's balls. No, Serge wasn't even there that day. And I just turned like that, and the branch caught me right in the side of the head, and whoo. So he certainly can do that. But anyway, we should abound in love. His prayer is this: and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in the depth of insight. That's number one. Number two, that you may be able to discern. Christian discernment is tremendous. You know what? There's a lot of people, even as Christians, we are deceived by this world. And you want to look at the word deceived, go to Matthew chapters 24 and see how many times we see the word deceived. And that's speaking about the latter days. You and I are in the latter days. You know what? We're getting a lot of stuff that deceives even the Christians. And there's a lot of Christians sometimes that say some things. You say, what? You mean you believe that? Yes, there's a lot of people who are deceived quite easily. Why? Because we're not in the Word of God enough. We need to be in God's Word, not just to read it. We need to have a pen and a pencil and a paper. We should be marking down things that we see, because you know what? It gets into our mind. We need to be filling our minds, because that's what it says in this chapter. Because the next one is the same thing. Look what it says, that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. Listen to this. Number three, filled with the fruits of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So three things: abound in love. Okay, abound in love, it says, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. And number three, filled with the fruits of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So Paul's prayer was that they'd have a Christ-filled life. Remember the number one verse, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Where should our thoughts and our energies and everything be as focused on is on the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because where is our home at? Go back over to Colossians again. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Where is the head of the church at? He's in heaven. Christ is the head, isn't he? What's it say in John chapter 14? Where's our home at? Home is in heaven, right? Where is our hope at? It's in heaven. Who's our hope? Christ. That's where our affection should be. That's where our sight, that's why we see the verse again, Hebrews, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. So there's all those things in the Word of God where our focus and mind should be, is things in heaven. And you know what? I'm not standing up here and saying it's easy to do. It's not. Not for me or anyone else. Because Satan wants to keep our minds focused on the world. Let's go to chapter 2. That's all we're going to say. There's a whole lot more I could say. I had my notes. I probably could talk longer than what I should. Go to chapter 2, verse 5. This is a Christ-formed life, and we all know this. And most of us can quote it. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now that's where Christ's mind was. And what does Paul say? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Take some of those characteristics, and I believe there's about seven of them there, which I don't have them all marked down. But one of them, of course, is humility. Being a servant. Being obedient to the Father. And so on. And I mean, look at the stoop that he went to, the Lord Jesus Christ, even to the death of the cross. Are we willing to give our lives for Christ? In every way, in every aspect. So we see there a Christ-formed life. And of course, you can see seven steps that therefore God also hath highly exalted him, and so on. There's seven more steps. The Lord, because of who he was, God exalted him, and he has a name which is above every name. He certainly was a perfect man, wasn't he? The little book of Philippians is such a beautiful little book. It's only four chapters. It's a book of joy, a joy book. We get tremendous joy from reading and studying the little book of Philippians. So we see there, we'll not linger too much more on that, the Christ-formed life. Again, thinking of that verse. Paul says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. A Christ-filled life, he prayed for the saints, and a Christ-formed life, that they would have a mindset like Christ, those characteristics of Christ. Then we go to chapter 3, verses 10 to 14. We're just going to read there, a Christ-focused life. And think of yourself as a mountain climber, or even in a race or so on. Where is your mindset, and what are you focused on? Again, we talked about that one time I was speaking here again in Luke's gospel. He speaks about somebody who is a plow, a man who is a farmer, and he's breaking a ridge. Where do you have your eyes if you're breaking out a ridge? Where would you have your eyes, Fennel?
Straight ahead.
Except for the corner. Straight ahead. You pick a spot at the other end of the field. We did that when I lived on a farm. If you're breaking out a ridge, if you didn't want to have a crooked line, you picked out a tree. Even when I'm cutting grass, I do the same thing. You pick something right straight ahead of you, and you keep your eyes on it, and you don't sneeze, and you don't look one way or the other, because you're going to go off focus, aren't you? Remember what happened to Peter? The Lord told him to come walking on the water. We know what happened to him, didn't he? The Lord said, come, Peter. And Peter stepped on the water, and he did something that was humanly impossible, until all of a sudden he saw the wind and the waves and everything else. What did he start to do? Sink. Guess what happens to you and I? We get our eyes off of focusing on Christ. So just like a mountain climber, if you will, that Paul is talking about, and he says, you know, we need to have a Christ-focused life. We need to have a goal, as it were, set. And that is what we focus on, and that's what we set our mind to. And that can be in so many different ways and aspects of our Christian lives. And every one of us have different gifts and so on, too. And that's why we say, we bring it to the Lord. Say, Lord, help me, guide me, lead me. But you know what we have to be? We have to be serious about that when we say it. We can be pretty fluffy sometimes. Say, yeah, Lord, I want you to help me. But in our minds, we don't really want him to do that, really, right? Serious. Paul was serious in his Christian life. That's why he could say, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He was absolutely serious. Dead serious, if you will. So let's read here at Philippians chapter 3 and reading in at verse 10, I believe it is. Let's read in at verse 7. Paul again is speaking. If anyone else think he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. That's in verse 4. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for legalistic, righteous, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So he had a goal in mind. And that is as he was straining. He was with putting all his might into obtaining that goal. He had a focus on Christ. And that's what he's talking about here, a Christ-focused life. And that's what he's praying for these people in Philippi, that they would have a Christ-focused life. And I'm going to run out of time, so I'm going to go to chapter 4. So just remember that, in chapter 1, a Christ-filled life. Chapter 2, a Christ-formed life. Chapter 3, a Christ-focused life. And chapter 4, a Christ-fed life. What do we feed on? We know what the Bible says. Man shall not live by bread alone or food alone, but by every, what? Word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Are we feeding on God's word? A lot of people say, oh yeah, I do my daily devotions. Sometimes we get into a habit, don't we? Sometimes we think, well, that's what I did, what I was supposed to do. Do we get up in the morning or whenever we have our special time with the Lord, are we excited to go there with a pen and a paper and see what the Lord has for us? Something that we can glean from the Word of God and say, oh, my word. Did you ever read some scripture maybe two or three different times and you know what, you read it again and you see something totally different? You say, I never saw that before. And then ask God to apply it to your own life. Because we all have faults, don't we? We all can backslide. We can all do all kinds of things. We can get off track real fast. We need to come to the Lord and we need to ask Him to help us. And when we go into the Word of God, say, Lord, show me something today. Show me. Show me, and I'm serious. I want to see it in your word. Let's go to chapter 4 and reading in at verse 4. Here is a Christ-fed life. Rejoice in the Lord always, I will say. Again, rejoice. There again, we're talking about the little book being a book of joy. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petitions, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, it's like a sandwich here. You're going to see the peace of God, and then you're going to see in verse down at the verse 9, you're going to see the God of peace. And in between that, we see some lovely words that we're to keep our mind set on. Okay, it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever is true... I'm going to go back up there to verse 7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatsoever is true, whatsoever is noble, whatsoever is right, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. You see all those words? You should underline them in your Bible. And then go in and find out the meaning of each one of those words. And then say, Lord, help me to apply them to my life as I read your word. It says, whatsoever you have learned, here it is again, whatsoever you have learned and received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. Put it into practice. In other words, we are to spiritually grow, aren't we? We are to spiritually develop. That's why God says we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That's what God wants us to do. He didn't save us just for the fun of it. He saved us to be servants for him. Goes on to say this. I'll go back to verse 9. Whatsoever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Remember, it started off way up in verse 7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. And look what it says in verse 9, and the God of peace will be with you. We get into those seven words again. What are they? Whatsoever is true, whatsoever is noble, whatsoever is right, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Because you know what? Our minds can go a lot of places, can't they? Mine too. We get on our computer, on our phones, on all those things. Well, we are bombarded. And the God of this world, you know what it says about those who are not saved. And we're seeing what's happening in the world today. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them. The minds of them that believe not, lest they should understand or see the glorious light of the gospel. Satan loves to trip you and I, and that's another verse. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We need to be, you know, I'm way back in the Old Testament, there's just a lion that crouches at our doorway. Satan loves to trip us up. He loves to destroy us. And we know it can happen to many of us. None of us are exempt. And that's why we need God's help every day, every moment of every day. We are needy people. That's why we need to go to the throne of grace. And so we see in this little, just four little titles, Christ-filled life, chapter 1, Christ-formed life, chapter 2, a Christ-focused life in chapter 3, and a Christ-fed life in chapter 4. May God bless those few little thoughts.